The best closers in sales know that they're accountable to themselves first and everybody else second. And salespeople who don't close deals or need a sales mama or sales daddy have to have somebody else hold them accountable. And you can check and see the difference in the income that both those groups make is quite large.
Every single message you deliver is really a sales call. Either you are selling or being sold. Salespeople love to brag about their skills. And the truth is, your success in closing sales depends on your skills, your abilities, and finding the right training. And the great news is, you have come to the right place here at the How to Sell Show with your hosts, Dale Bell and Scott Silvenbell. And be sure to join the party at howtosell.live and download your copy of The 10 Common Mistakes Salespeople Make.
Aloha from Sacramento, California. Today is going to be an amazing day. We're going to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly about sales. And it starts with personal accountability. Some of the best closers that I know, they hold themselves personally accountable. Some of the worst salespeople that I know, they always wait for someone else to do the accountability for them. You have to be willing to do things on your own. You have to be willing to put in the work. You have to be willing to put in the effort. And you know, it's really weird. I see salespeople get hired. I've sat in on a lot of job interviews. I've sat in on a lot of trainings. I've trained a lot of people. But a lot of times where things fall down is the expectations are set wrong. And, you know, one of the classes that I have for people is like the personal accountability piece. And, you know, it's, it usually takes about an hour of what's expected of the person. But a lot of times companies will hire salespeople and not give them the expectations and not tell them what needs to be done. And, you know, closers don't have a sales mama or a sales daddy, AKA a manager. You know, they're able to go out and close deals. They're able to go out and make things happen. They're self-sufficient. And the people who chew up the most amount of time for the management team and the support staff are the needy salespeople that they don't know how to hold themselves accountable. And so I figured I would give you the 10 things that I see that closers do and the ways that they hold themselves accountable. And I would challenge you to stack these up against yourself. And in the comment section, if I miss something, I would love for you to add it. You know, you could always tweet me. You could always find my Facebook page, my How to Sell Show page, or even my Scott Bell Consultant page. And, you know, let's have a conversation. But one, they set goals for themselves. And they talk about them. They live them. You know, there's plenty of people who set goals and like it's some wacky thing that they do on December 31st of the previous year and they spend 5 minutes on it. The best closers that I know, they spend time working on their goals like you would not believe. You know, they have their own charts. They have their own graphs. They keep all of their closed deals in an Excel spreadsheet. You know, they take the time to work their goals. And so, you know, salespeople here are like, work your goals. All right, well, I'm going to wake up in the morning and, you know, this year I'm going to sell $1 million or this year I'm going to sell $10 million. And it never really works out that way. Working your goals means you keep all the data, you keep all the information, and you work towards your income goals. Two, be willing to learn. And being willing to learn means being willing to listen and be willing to ask questions and be willing to do what needs to be done to learn a process. And, you know, there's plenty of things that I do not know in this life. I do not know everything. And I'll sit through meetings and I will sit through trainings or I'll give a training and I'll be the trainer. And there's people in the room and they're like, I've heard this all before. You know, and every trainer is going to have a different twist. Every trainer is going to have a different way of saying it. And I was training in the Bay Area this last year on a very unique process that I created. And this guy says, oh, I've heard this before. And I said, that's interesting. Where did you hear this before? And, you know, I called him out on it because, you know, this is something that I don't put out on the marketplace. This isn't something that I put out on YouTube. This isn't something that I've ever seen another trainer train before. And I called him out on it. I said, no, that's not true. You know, I'm the person who created this. This came from me. So unless I'm teaching it, you know, or someone's using one of my techniques, not happening. Unless they got trained by me, they don't know how to use this. And the guy wasn't willing to learn. 3, be willing to pay for your own education. I don't know how many times I work with salespeople that are so scared to spend, you know, $20 on a book, $100 on a course, $500 for a live training, $1,000 for coaching or mentoring, or $10,000 for coaching and mentoring, or whatever the number is. Like, in their mind, they're like, if I pay that much money, I don't know if I'm going to get anything out of it. And you're going to get out of any class what you put into it. And if you're willing to take notes and you're willing to implement and you're willing to learn, you're going to be okay. 4, make follow-up phone calls. And when I say phone calls, this could be emails, this could be text messages, this could be video messages, whatever the follow-up process is that I'm going to throw out here. Like, the best people who are accountable for themselves, they don't have to have somebody saying, okay, I'm your sales mommy, I'm your sales daddy, go out and make your follow-up phone calls. No, closers, no. They're like, I'm going to go get that money. I'm going to go take the money from the sales guy or from the sales girl that needs to have a sales mommy and a sales daddy. I'm going to go make things happen. I'm just going to make it happen. 5, close deals. And, you know, there's been times where I've closed deals that I should not have, that they were a bad deal, but I learned from them. And there was times that I closed deals and I'm like, I hope this works. And I was able to make things happen. And all too often, salespeople will look for permission for the perfect deal. And they get caught up in trying to make the perfect deal happen and time runs out and they end up losing the deal. And so top salespeople know sometimes you make money on a deal and occasionally you make no money on a deal, but it counts towards momentum. And so instead of complaining about it, they say like, hey, I lost money on that deal or I didn't make any money on that deal, but gosh darn it, it counted towards my end of the year goals or it counted towards my monthly bonus or whatever the way that it works is like they look at a deal as a deal. They celebrate all victories and they'll emotionally detach themselves and say, I screwed up. Or I should have done it better, or I could have done it better. And sometimes they call friends, they call coaches, they call mentors. You know, I got a couple of people that I talk to almost on a daily basis, and we talk about deals. Hey, this is what happened in the deal. What would you do differently? Hey, I was able to close this with this product or this project, and I think it went sideways, but I think I'm going to be okay. You know, you have to be willing to close a deal. And sometimes it's not a perfect deal. And sometimes that means that you might not make any money on it, but it does count towards whatever you're moving forward in the future. 6, take care of your clients when there's a problem. I can't tell you how many times somebody just has to be incrementally better, just a small amount of better, to steal a contract or to steal an agreement from another organization because the other company's not paying attention. They're asleep at the wheel. They're not doing what needs to be done. They're not taking care of their clients. I've used this example a couple of times here on the How to Sell show. My mom had a 42-year relationship for a company that my dad started the relationship with when he started the company in the 70s. And this company that had the relationship could not keep this contract straight. And my mom walked. My mom said, peace out, Girl Scout. You're done. And they lost the opportunity. And I looked at him like, 42-year relationship, millions of dollars spent. Because, you know, the company couldn't take care of their contracts. 7, be coachable. You know, as a coach, as a mentor, as somebody who works with salespeople, there is a point where I see certain traits. There is a point where I see you're not coachable. You're not trainable. You're not ever going to use what's being taught. And I have to look at it as like, what's the best investment of my time? You know, if I'm going to go work for a company or work with a company and they've got 20 salespeople, you know, do I work with the top 30% or do I chase after the bottom 70? Well, as a trainer, I don't want to chase people. As a coach, I don't want to chase people. If they want to be accountable and they want to work with me, fantastic. If they want to implement and they want to be coachable, I love it. But, you know, a lot of times, a lot of the frustrations that I have come down to people that never will do anything with what they're being taught. And I have to have the tough conversation with the owners. I'll say, look, you know, real deal, I'm more than willing to do whatever you want me to do, but do you want the best bang for your buck or do you want to say you had a trainer? And sometimes that tough conversation says, you have people that are not coachable. They're not ever going to do anything with what I teach. They're going to cherry pick. They're going to take one or two items out of what they like, but what they're not going to do is they're not going to implement the strategy. They're going to implement a single tactic. 8, take the lumps. There's times where you screw up and you got to get called to the carpet. And there's times where you just got to own and say, I screwed up. It was me. My fault. I own it. And I will work with salespeople and they always want to blame somebody else on why it was their fault instead of saying, hey, flat out, I could have done better and I didn't. It'll change in the future. And there's a difference between the person who really means it and the person who really says it. And part of that is accepting the responsibility for your mistakes. Part of that is saying, hey, look, you know what? I made a mistake and here's what I know needs to be done. Or I need to find a coach. I need to find a mentor. I need to find somebody who can help me fix this problem. But, you know, at this point, I screwed up. Time for me to take my lumps. You know, when I talk with salespeople who are top in closers or performers at what they do, they understand that there's days that they're on top and there's days that they're on bottom. And they've learned to not let it get to them over time. And being accountable also means that knowing that things are going to change over time, that one day you're going to be good, one day you're going to be bad, one day you're going to be happy, one day you're going to be sad, but that's a day out of a year. And you know, when I used to manage salespeople, they would come in, they'd be like, oh, my day sucked. And I would tell them, hey, a day doesn't make a week, a day doesn't make a month, a day doesn't make a year, but you have to choose that. You can let it. You could let today destroy your whole year if you get so caught up in what's going on. And salespeople who are accountable are able to let things go. They're able to say, look, I ran the call. I did what I did. I learned what I needed to learn. I screwed up. I'm accountable. I won't do it again. But this next call is my opportunity. This call isn't your last call, right? You can't take out your last call on your next buyer. I don't know how many times when I would ride with salespeople that they would get mad at questions that a potential client would ask them that they were asked previously. We are in the age and the day of answering the same question over and over and over again. You know, I have to repackage my information and answer the same question over and over and over again. Why aren't my salespeople selling? You know, what could you do to help me close some deals? You know, will your process work? And then I have all the same questions from salespeople when I train them. Will this really work in front of a buyer? Am I going to get thrown out of a call? Am I good at what I do? It doesn't matter what you do. You're asked the same questions over and over and over again. I worked with a call center recently and I sat down with the manager and I said, out of all the questions that you ask, let's say you're asked, you know, 40 questions in a day. How many of those are you asked consistently? He said about 10 to 12. So people in the call center ask the same question over and over and over again. It's your job to own up having the conversation with people. And then I'm going to say number 10 is going to be a little bit surprising you for personal accountability. And that's knowing when to get away from the office. And that's knowing when to take time off. And everybody's got their own version of what vacation is. Me, I like to go to Hawaii every 3 months. And that's just my recharge. It's the way that I redo things. It's the way that I'm able to find my inner peace. In Hawaii, they got this thing called Aina, and that's energy. And, you know, there's a different energy out in Hawaii than there is anywhere else. People are smiling. People are happy. Everything's green. The ocean's fantastic. Everybody's having fun at the beach. Like, there's good Aina. And there's a point where I start craving after about 90 days. I'm like, I got to get out to Hawaii. I got to get to the beach. I got to get to the ocean. I got to go spend some time on the North Shore. And if I go 4 months, I'm like, I'm itching. I got to get out of town, right? Everybody's got their own version of Hawaii. Mine happens to be the you know, Oahu. But everybody's got their own version of taking time off. It could be a hobby that they use. It could be, you know, that they sing. It could be that they deal with, you know, selling merchandise on the side. I don't know. You pick your thing. You pick your battle. But at the end of the day, you have to be accountable to yourself.
Thanks for checking out this episode of the How to Sell Show. You can join the party at howtosell.live to get the show notes, links, updates on new episodes, recordings of previous episodes, articles, as well as videos. You may not know this sales secret, but sharing this episode with a friend will bring you good luck. See you soon. Mahalo.